It's Fat Tuesday.
What did you call me?
The streets of New Orleans are spookily empty as folks wisely stay home to help bring an end to the Rona pandemic. But it doesn't mean we can't safely celebrate from our homes with our good gal pals like Mystique Summers from season 2 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Mystique's been part of an intense discussion last week when she and her sister in RuPaulia, Nina Bonina Brown, had a conversation about trans bodies, the art of drag, and Nina's comments on Gottmik's scantily clad runway look on Drag Race.
Today, Mystique Summers joins us on Fat Tuesday to take a look at the heated conversation taking place about trans drag queens. Gottmik's showing off that body yaddy yaddy and how Texas is freezing this Mardi Gras.
Plus, is it on? T.S. Madison is getting a new reality TV show on WeTV.
Folks are begging Tamron Hall not to give Sherry Pie an opportunity to rehab her image.
And are high heel shoes going extinct?
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Hello. What in Jesus is this? Is this back? You know what? Whoever is this? This is not Dixie. Hey, it's you. Hey, how you doing?
Happy Mardi Gras. Happy Fat Tuesday.
Happy Woo. Mardi Gras.
Oh, thank you. I thought it was some type of Dixie plane. I thought I had to get my gun and be prepared for something.
There's a little Zydeco.
I mean, the best I can do is, like, if I start playing the harmonica, my dog starts to howl like crazy.
Isn't that what they're supposed to do, though?
Well, listen, he's not a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race. He's just a dog. Although the distinction can be easily confused.
At times. Correct.
Hold on a second. He's going to do it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He never does it on cue.
No.
Oh my God. Bad dog.
You have to do it like immediately, like, and then that's it. He hates having his picture taken too.
I know.
He was looking at you saying, I know what you're trying to do, bitch.
He's under the table wagging. No.
He's licking my hand right now.
Oh.
He's like, I
the dog,
love you still.
Me.
Yeah, not.
Oh no. He was probably like, are you about to be homeless? Is that what you're practicing for?
Girl.
Please. Please don't.
Well, I learned how to play. Well, I tried to learn how to play the harmonica when Mark went on his reality TV show, Alt for Norge, the Great Norwegian Adventure, where he and 12 contestants lip synced for their lives in Norway.
In the Arctic Circle.
And Mark made it pretty far. He even got to say, bitch, I'm from Chicago. I'm going to whoop your ass. In the show.
Your catchphrase.
Yes.
Hit a bitch and just try to throw him in the snow. Well, no, the region's already snow. Yeah. Try to drown a bitch. Freeze the bitch.
I do feel as though I did say that on camera, but it did not make the cut.
You see, the good shit never makes the cut. Good shit never makes the cut.
Well, the Norwegians are like, Mystique Summers? What is RuPaul's Drag Race? What?
What is this creature?
Well, it's 11 years since your big bust on the global scene on RuPaul's Drag Race. Who were you fighting with on the show that you had to tell them, bitch, I'm from Chicago, I want to whoop your ass?
Oh, I was fighting with, good old Miss Morgan McMichaels and myself.
What's an easy fight to have? Who doesn't want to tell her that? What was the fight about? Like, it seems like so far 11 years ago,
but
right?
The catchphrase lives on.
Yeah, the catchphrase.
Right.
Yeah. What was the fight about?
I don't even remember. It was something. That's the thing. For a fight to happen, if you really don't remember, it could have been about a comment or a word or something. That means it was a stupid fight and it should never happen. But you have too many type A personalities talking. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, bitch, I'm not going back down. Well, bitch, I'm not going to walk away. Yeah, bitch, I'm not going to walk away. I'm like, years, people walk away from fights, bitch. Bitch, hell no.
With the fans of reality TV shows or even the show Star Trek, for example, people could get really aggressive and very polarized really quickly. And then, one false move and it's canceled.
But the Star Trek people are crazier.
Why is that?
Because they're older.
Yeah.
Your ass will go into the grocery store and you would say something wrong to a Trekkie. He could be 62 years old. He gonna beat you with his cane.
Have you had a bad experience with Star Trek fans?
No, I just hear about it and I just giggle.
I went to one Star Trek convention and everybody there was so sweet. There was families all dressed up like Star Trek people.
But it was before Facebook existed.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Facebook and Reddit changed everything.
I think Facebook is the reason why all these shows have toxic fans and all this stuff.
It's not Reddit. It's not Twitter. It's not, you know, other sites.
Well, it's those.
It has or to all of them.
Well, no, it started off with Facebook. And then when people was getting reported, then it ventured off into, you know, Twitter land. And Twitter land became OnlyFans and porn. Then they had to find a new home, which is Reddit.
I mean, listen, you know, who doesn't have a subreddit dedicated to canceling them?
Oh, do you?
Yeah, we do.
I don't. I never began. That's why I haven't been canceled.
Well, certainly our good friend Nina Bonina, Osama Bin Laden, Banana Fofana, RuPaul Drag Race Charles. RuPaul
Android Charles.
Peanut Butter Jelly Sandwich Time. Brown got into trouble this last week for basically, you know, which was RuPaul's comment on his hesitation on getting assigned female birth or trans male contestants on the show, is that they may have a little bit easier time in creating the female illusion because, you know, parts of their body may align with that easier. But certainly, you know, like the challenges are not just who has the more curvaceous hips, is it?
Well, no, that ain't about the challenge or anything.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, that whole situation is weird because I talked to a couple of my friends about the whole thing. I was like, okay, we're going to have a sit down and talk and we're going to talk about this.
What happened with Nina? Like, what did she say? There was,
I'm not repeating that.
Okay.
Girl,
people can find it. But basically she said, oh, we know where those curves came from. I think it's a paraphrase, right?
Yeah. Correct. There was a paraphrase that she used some of the sub comments that, got Meg said, and, you know, some things that, you know, RuPaul said and all this. And, you know, people started attacking. And I read it. I seen the attack. And I'm like, you know, let me chime in. Like, hey, Nina, girl, what's going on? This was like at 7 o'clock in the morning when I was reading all this. I was like, what's going on so we can talk about it? You know, because I don't just take what people post on social media as 100%. Right. Because a lot of these people will just take that and run with it and be like, oh, she said this, she said that, and XYZ. And it's like, let me figure out her side of the story, now figure out your side, and then we can, you know, meet in the middle somewhere. So, you know, had a little interview with her to figure out what happened, what's going on. I got her side, you know. I was, you know, Barbara Walters popped down and had to, you know, we were just asking questions and figure out things. And, you know, if you will watch her little interview,
I did, yeah.
You will see her side. And the thing is, her side was like completely genuine. It wasn't like I'm trying to hide something or anything like that. With me, I'm like, if someone is feeling offended, no matter who you are, that person should speak out first and not have everybody and their mama speak out, because it really doesn't pertain to you in the situation. Not just like, oh my God, I hate this person because of this. Okay, did they do anything to you? No. Was it about you? No. Then why are you jumping into the situation? And then till this day, I don't even think her and Gottmik even talked yet about it, because I was like, okay, with all this BS that's going on, did Gottmik reach out to try to talk? Did you reach out or anything like that? And it was like, nope, nobody reached out. I'm like,
okay. Gottmik and the contestants that are on the show right now have signed a commitment to not doing any media or any public conversations about their appearance on the show at this point. So they're not able to talk to anybody in a public space. Gottmik would be wise to call Nina behind the scenes and have a conversation, but You know, that's right. their prerogative, and maybe they're just overwhelmed with the being on the show at this moment.
Well, true. Right there, you don't have to do no public interview. Like, okay, I'm going to sit down. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about it. No, just call each other, email each other, you know, squash it instead of letting it go too far. And then, you know, one person fan club is attacking another person fan club. And it's just like, it just gets... It all becomes high school drama all over again.
Mm.
Do you feel like in a lot of ways it's divisive factions? Because, you know, the fans of Gottmik and the fans of Nina Bonina, I'm not going to say her full name.
Nina Bonina Brown.
Bonina Brown.
You can call her Miss Brown, too.
Miss Brown. You know, in an ideal world, they share more in common than they don't. And if, you know, these two groups of people can align their forces to change the world for the better, they're unstoppable.
That would be with any Drag Race fan club.
Yeah. I mean, part of me is like, it almost feels like sometimes that Drag Race is kind of meant to sort of divide and conquer people. So it's like, we're too busy fighting with each other to fight for, you know, a stimulus check or something like that, or healthcare or education, or, you know, COVID vaccines. Hello.
I know. I suppose I went today and got my shot.
You did? Congratulations.
No, I said I was supposed to. I got an email at 9:45 this morning saying my appointment was canceled. And I was like, hold on, CVS. I know it's canceled. A little icy out. Like, it's a little icy out. Why ain't y'all still open? Walgreens is open. I know Walgreens is finally open. I just have to drive 5 minutes. I could have got my shot. Can I just come over?
Oh, so they canceled just because the weather was so bad?
Yeah,
because right now, for people that don't know that are living someplace else in the world, Texas has got like extraordinary weather. It's cold. People's windows are icing up. They are one windows. Of our largest. Their window. Like, we have people who's like on the inside of the house. Their windows are icy. Texas is one of the largest oil producers, energy producers in the world, and they can't handle this cold weather. It's rolling blackouts, and so it's like intentionally like giving like having people without electricity so that other people can have electricity. Is that how it goes?
Yeah. The second thing is, like, it was supposed to be, everything I'm reading is like everybody's electricity is supposed to be out for like 45 minutes and then come back on. Some people said, yeah, it's been 6 hours. It's been 12 hours. And I'm just like, what about these people that's on ventilators or oxygen machines at the house? Like, somebody said that vape power came on for 20 minutes. They started cooking and their power went out.
Oh, man.
Just hold your breath, girl.
No, girl.
I mean, girl. That is a serious thing, though, for people who are, I mean, I hope those ventilators or respirators or battery powered or attached to some kind of external power, you know, if your life depends on it.
Mm-hmm.
But for like over 12 hours?
Yeah, I mean,
that's going to be pushing
it. Like a little, it's supposed to be like a little emergency thing.
I believe they're good for like a day or two, if anything. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I just play one on TV.
No, it's definitely disconcerting. And it's, you know, Faust is from Puerto Rico and they've gone like days. And I mean, you look at Hurricane Maria, some people went months without electricity, correct?
Yeah, they had to get some gasoline and get some power generators and stuff like that. And it was pretty bad.
But, you know, in Puerto Rico, they're a little bit used to it to some degree because they it happens from time to time. But this is really just kind of like it's whooping Texas's ass, right?
But they knew about it, that it was coming.
Yeah. Well,
are they
like the people though that like, cause like where I'm from or in Pittsburgh and whatnot, it's always like the weather's coming. You got to go to the store. You got to get bread, milk.
Oh my God. That's funny because 3 days ago I was like, let me go to Walmart. And I was like, oh, I want to put something in my crock pot I just bought. Because I'm, you know, I'm an old lady now. So I was like, I got a new crock pot. Let me, you know, get some stuff. I went down like the soup aisle.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, cans of soup is still here. Why an entire row of ramen noodles is completely gone?
Oh, shit. So people knew it was coming. It was the toilet paper.
Completely gone. Toilet paper was fine. Toilet paper was there. I looked at the meat section at Walmart. And I was like, why do I see nothing but black? You just saw the bottom of everything. I'm like, people went crazy. Coffee creamer? You can't get coffee creamer. That's gone, too. The refrigerator and the powder. I'm like, are we about to end the world or something? Do y'all need all this like this? Like, Jesus.
Yeah, I think like we have bad weather here today too. But I think in Chicago, people have been stockpiling all winter. You know, so there hasn't been like a big rush at the store or anything like I've seen before.
I don't know. Regular milk is gone, and I was like you see, this is why you buy almond milk or rice milk or anything like that, because it expires in like 6 months. Mm-hmm. Let me get my healthy stuff and I'm good.
When I lived in Europe, I would buy a 6-pack of cow's milk, and it was ultra homogenized. It was shelf stable and it would last for years. And they don't have
You said some big words. I don't know what that means.
Oh, so it's regular.
So homogenized is like gay milk.
Well, like you have okay. So you have pasteurized, right, milk that you usually right. buy, and that's the stuff. It has an expiration date and you keep it in the refrigerator. They have like right. in Europe, they have like this ultra pasteurized stuff. And it comes in a box, and it's still liquid, it's still milk, but it lasts for, like, it's shelf stable for, like, years, or a year at least, or something like that. And you keep it on the shelf, and if you want it cold, you put it into the refrigerator. And in Canada, I think they might have the same thing, but in Canada, their milk comes in a bag. It comes in a bag, and you put the bag inside some kind of special pitcher or whatever, and that's how you get
that
your milk.
That is too much work I know, for milk.
But, you know, I guess it's cheaper. Or they're used to it.
Damn it, I forgot my machine. Let me go buy a new machine. I lost the machine to put my milk in. God damn it.
No, it's just like a regular pitcher, you know, or something like that.
It's like weird. A sack.
Yeah. And Canadians also call American cheese singles, I think, is that what they call it?
Because they peel it.
They peel it. Yeah.
So, I mean, the hot thing before, you know, the North Pole decided to declare war in North America was, you know, I mean, people were really sort of divided and having a really strong conversation about trans bodies and drag and Gottmik's appearance on Drag Race. And
you know what? I love how you just put this whole story back into the topic. Come on, bitch.
Well, because people reporter. Are tuning in and they're listening and they want to hear your thoughts about this. I mean, we don't have to talk
about the
this.
Weather.
We can talk about the boys' listen, cake check challenge.
You know that when people talk about the weather, it's because they're avoiding talking about things that are a little bit difficult and painful. But when we talk about the difficult things, it makes us stronger. It makes us wiser.
Yeah, we understand each other.
And it makes people, but it makes also some people stupider, because they will just only listen to the pieces that they agree to and be like, oh, no, that's a lie. Nah, and click off.
You know, but I think our audience who have supported us for, you know, we just celebrated our 16th anniversary. We're on our 17th season of this podcast. We have smart people, you know, they're intelligent people. They love us. They support us. They've loved you on this podcast. They're here for us. I mean, to be honest with you, Feast of Fun audience is the best audience in the world.
Well, and you say that because you're the host of the show.
I say this host of the show, but I know these listeners. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And our listeners are not those people that be on Reddit that are just like, you ask Kim Chi about being a virgin. Like, that's not the people that typically listen to us.
It's somebody who's pulling apart an you know? Hour and a half long conversation for 3 or 4 words.
Yeah.
To then isolate and pull out of context. Yeah. And you know, just to address that for people who are listening, Kim Chi was a very young drag queen here in Chicago. We invited her on the show years before she got on Drag Race. And we sat down, like, you know, when the guests are in the home studio, we say, these are the things we'd like to talk about. You know, what are some things that you find interesting about you and you want to bring up? And she was like, well, you know, even though I'm this wild drag queen, I'm the nightlife of Chicago, toast of nightlife of Chicago, celebrated in the drag and the rave scene and circuit party scenes, I'm a virgin. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. And, you know, it's also, you know, so different that, in, you know, because you're surrounded by this hypersexualized, very decadent, very lavish environment. And so I thought it was really beautiful, actually, and really wonderful that Kim Chi would share something very private with the audience, right? Kim Chi asked us to ask her about her sexuality, and we did. And so instead of, like, you know, being endeared to that, people, 5 years later when she got on Drag Race, they went back into the archives and sat down and pulled that little thing out. And then I was just like, this is not the show for you. If you're looking to fight with somebody, girl, there are plenty of places to do that. This is an opportunity to create understanding, to bridge a divide,
to exchange ideas, and to talk about things.
people pull stuff like that just to start drama and commotion because they're unhappy with their lives, and it's just going to make them feel better. So they're like, ooh, look what I just did. I just started this drama. Oh, my God, I just went viral. Like, okay.
Well,
like,
you know, violence is what happens when we run out of ideas.
Who said that?
I know.
One of our guests.
I was about to say, I know it was, that never came out of my mouth. I know that for sure.
So
I think it was our guest last week, Brett East, right?
Which is a great, great phrase there. And so, you know, I think with, and what's interesting about Nina, you know, and Gottmik's misunderstandings or, you know, the sort of divide that's there is really sort of, you know, goes back to the understanding of what gender and what a body is, right? And so, you know, I think that in terms of black liberation and civil rights, you know, historically, black people have been hurt and attacked through their humanity by attacking their gender. And so when we're talking about gender as a construct, or gender can be, you know, something you define for yourself, it can be confusing to some people who've been attacked in the past for that very thing, you know? So it's like, right. Oh, that thing that we said that, you know, was so important to you. Well, it's, you know, it's you can define it any way you want to. And so somebody might interpret that as like an attack on them. And so one thing that I've noticed is like, you know, lesbians who are assigned female at birth and, you know, some conservative, religious black Southern people, and conservative white racist conservatives share that in common, is that they have a very poor understanding of what it means to be trans. And so they get together and they're like, you know, it's like, you know, dismissing the trans experience or not understanding it or assigning things to it that have nothing to do with it. Right. And so you had a
because
conversation.
They don't want to understand.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
But Nina was genuinely curious about it, but she is coming from a different perspective than other people are.
Correct. And people are not viewing it like that. It's like, okay, if you're being like, you're trying to figure out, you're trying to understand, are you going to put that person down for trying to understand? Yeah. Or are you just going to be like, okay, you know what? I know you don't know nothing about this. So let me educate you and help you out so you can understand more.
And you feel
and
like
that's going out to anybody and everybody. And I'm so going to talk about that to everybody.
And so when you have this conversation with people that you care about, that you want them to be more appreciative, more curious, more have a deeper understanding of what it means to be trans in America in 2021, what kind of things do you bring up to them?
Oh, with that, like, for, okay, with me, if someone tell me, hi, I'm trans, mm-hmm. okay, I personally take out the trans out of everything. If you're saying I'm a trans man, no, you're a man, you're a dude. That is how I perceive everything. I don't put the label of trans on people who is trans. I'm talking about if you're living day to day as a woman or day to day as a man, that's what you, who you are. You're this man now. You're this woman. And case closed. But everybody in the world is like nitpicking and everything. Was like, oh my God, is that a trans man? What is this? What is this? And it's like why is people so infatuated with people's private parts mm-hmm. to associate gender to?
Right, right.
Why are you so obsessed?
Well, part of it is I think, you know, people don't want to be defined by their adjectives. And one thing we learned, like, for me, it's like people be like, well, you're a gay artist. I'm like, I'm an artist, you know. I also being gay is one of the many things I have, you know. And so it is, you have all these experiences, identities, and interests. And, you know, to understand who Mystique is not just one thing. It's many of these things. And when we reduce you to that one thing, it's going to feel like it's harmful to you because it's disregarding the richness of your whole being.
Right. You're pretty much just placing me in a box. It's like, okay, if you're a trans man, here is your trans man box. This is what you're going to stay into. You can't get out of it. If you're a trans woman, this is your trans woman box. You can't get out of it. You can't peek into anybody else's boxes. you can only just have this cat and that cat only, and that's it.
Well, it's about how
and you just like the fuck.
Yeah, it's about how you self-identify. It's about how you want to be seen in this world. And you know, for some people, like you said, to them is like, okay, you, well, you say you're a trans man, but I'm only going to see you as a man. Part of their identity is being saying, I am a trans man, and the trans part you have to recognize because that's who they are and that's who they want you to see them as. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what? You know, I wouldn't want somebody to be like, if I identified as something other than what I am, having other people say, well, I don't see you as that. I see you as this. And then I'm like, no, you need to see me. What? How is it in Pandora and in the movie with the?
Oh, you mean
I see you.
Not what? Pandora. It's yeah, Avatar's yeah. The movie.
But the place is Pandora.
The goodness in me sees the goodness in you.
Exactly.
That's actually from Buddhism. It's not. Mm. It's they ripped off. So that's neither here nor there. You know, and part of it is like Gottmik is making history in on a platform that brings a lot of underground artists into the mainstream.
Correct.
And you know, Gottmik is distinguishing themselves because they are the first assigned female at birth, trans male drag queen to be featured on that show. And with that right. brings a lot of misunderstandings and curiosities for the public to investigate. And so Gottmik being a very savvy artist is making t-shirts with the top surgery featured front and center. That's a commentary on Vivienne Westwood's boobs shirt yeah. from that she'd made for the Sex Pistols sex store
in the 70s. Yeah.
In the 70s. And so, you know, and people are like, trans people, you should not buy this shirt. You should not wear it and all this stuff. So Gottmik's getting canceled. And part of it is like, you know, honey, you can't cancel backwards. It just cancels itself out.
Mm-hmm. And people who can't or get canceled usually just cancel themselves. You know what I mean?
It's because they're not interested in having a conversation. They're not listening. Yeah. They're walking away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that Gina from The Mandalorian.
Well, now she's going to do some kind of movie with some ultra-conservative right-wing people. Yeah. So I can't wait to spend money on that.
Nobody's going to watch that.
Well, it's the same way how people are trying to cancel that new talk show host. What is her name? Oh my God. I forgot her name. But she's having Sherry. No. She's having Sherry on her show tomorrow. No.
Who?
Who are you talking about?
I forgot her name. I'm gonna have to look it up on my phone and text it to you.
But Sherry who? Sherry Pie?
Sherry. Yes. Oh, on her show tomorrow.
No, wait,
yes.
She's having Sherry Pie on it?
So from Chicago, Sherry Pie, Tamron Hall.
Yes. The Chicago legend Tamron Hall is interviewing who?
Sherry Pie tomorrow. Honey?
Not Sherry Vine.
Sherry Pie, the controversial queen from RuPaul's Drag Race. And then, that was edited out. They edited her out so well that they won a Grammy for editing. For removing a contestant. True fact. That's,
wow.
That is a fact.
I'm just finding this out now.
Tamron Hall.
Yeah. Well, no. Yeah,
today. Not tomorrow, people, today, yeah.
People, was it today?
Well, tomorrow's
the week. We tape shows ahead of time, yeah, so okay. It's Tuesday.
Because I'm about to say, did I just sleep a whole week away? No, people was talking about it. People was talking about it, and then I was like reading articles, like, you know, because I'm, you know, a woman. I was like, let me investigate, you know, being Perry Mason. I guess the victims reached out to all the producers and said, can we please not have her on the show, blah 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 blah, and the producers are still having her on the show. Pretty much the producers just said, fuck your feelings, we're still having her.
It's really, that's really
disappointing.
Wow. It's, well, you know, it
at the same time,
over 20 people,
you know, you're gonna be watching, you're gonna be watching, you're gonna be reading about it, at least, you know.
I mean, what is there to be watching?
I'm curious to see what she has to say.
If I go to work, I'm going to have to listen. Well, that's the point. I want to hear. We're hearing everybody else sigh. We have not heard her sing.
Right, and this is the tweet that the Tamron Hall show put out. It says, Tuesday on Tamron Hall, one of the breakout stars of RuPaul's huge mistake to RuPaul's Drag Race. Given her Twitter handle, booted from the show after being hit with lewd accusations of catfishing men. For the first time, she comes clean. Don't miss it. And then it's a bunch of photos of Sherry looking all
glamorous. She trying to be Oprah, Jenny Jones, Ricky Lake, all mixed up into one. This is an exclusive. Come on over here. The thing she ain't no Sally Jesse Raphael.
Yeah.
Bitch, go sit down somewhere.
Tamron Hall, for people who don't know, was a very respected and celebrated Chicago evening news journalist for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's strange to see her reincarnated as kind of a, you know, tabloid.
Wendy Williams-ish?
God, even Wendy Williams is a little bit more sophisticated than this, you know? And it's so strange to see her in this kind of space. And I believe, you know, Tamron Hall probably isn't aware of the ramifications and it's kind of maybe, I don't know. I'm going to have to, because I have friends who like work for this stuff I know people. So like, I just found out about it 2 hours before we started taping.
I'm just finding out about it right now. So I'm looking on Twitter and whatnot and people are like, you know, some of the people have like, they're like, one person said, I'm a reporter who first wrote about Sherry Pie. His name is David Macau. And these are the things here that suggest a worrying lack of research. But the biggest one is one of the victims has already contacted me in distress as it appears as there's been no effort to hear from them at all. And so you're going to talk to Sherry Pie, but you're not going to talk to any of the people that she victimized.
Is that live or has it already been pre-recorded?
It's probably already pre-recorded.
Yeah, because they would not, that would be like, she would not show up.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, I wouldn't want to interview Sherry Pie. But it's, you know, I can't really fault a journalist to look into the story, but to have the way that they're marketing this, it looks
harmful.
It looks harmful, and it's glorified. Yeah, it looks
saying
as though
a
it's
breakout star and all this stuff. Just say, you know, she catfished all these people. Let's hear her side.
And you know, we've met and hung out with Tamron Hall. By the way,
yes, years ago. It's been a while.
Well, y'all better call. Y'all better text her.
I don't have her phone number, but I'm like, girl,
the gays about to cancel you, girl. The gays about to cancel you. You ain't gonna have no hair or makeup artist. They about to cancel you, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And you know, we had Pissy Miles, a Philadelphia drag queen who performs a lot in New York. And when this whole story broke, you know, we did cover it. And Pissy had did a Facebook update about like how she was treated by Sherry. So we're like, you have got to come on the podcast and please talk about it. And she was very open and very forthright and basically was just like, basically described her as like a backstabbing, I'm going to steal whatever you have and take it from you and upstage you at every moment that I can. And just with very or little to none caring about somebody else's feelings. Like, it's for her and for her only.
And at the same time, listen, Barbara Walters interviewed Blagojevich. We've interviewed Shirley Phelps.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's, and I'm going to keep an open mind and definitely be curious to see what Tamron Hall does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd like
she's
somebody
it is the
from
first,
my community, you know,
the first interview to hear Sherry's side.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is the first time Sherry Pies has issued any kind of like formal statement or appearance. I mean, she's, you know, removed herself from the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Now, most journalistic people like Barbara Walters, you know, they don't pay for interviews because it interferes with the journalism.
We don't pay for interviews either.
Yeah, and we don't either. Yeah. But I wonder if the Tamron Hall show, if they do.
Of course not.
No, you don't think so?
No.
You don't think Wendy Williams pays her guests?
This is the United States. You would get into they might be doing things like, you know, flying her in and putting her in a nice hotel and, you know, giving her a lot of food and all that stuff. They may be, you know, rubbing her, you know, one hand washes the other kind of thing. But to me, it's a very strange choice because Tamron Hall is kind of a very not recognizable name outside of Chicago. And this is a brand new project. And to me, it seems like a strange choice by both parties to be doing this. Like, you know, there's so many places that Sherry, Sherry Pie could have gone to, and it seems very unusual. This is like, and for people that don't understand, this is like doing like, you know, the show that where they do cooking and trade recipes and, you know, very light celebrity gossip all of a sudden is like, you know, this villain in the LGBTQ world is going to be showing up and, you know, trying to do harm reduction, or what is it? What is the term when you try to heal your public image?
It's good enough.
Probably because I thought she deleted all her social media.
She did.
Her Twitter just popped up on the side, and so she just tweeted for the first time in almost a year. Just posted a photo at New York, New York, and it's a photo of her on Tamron Hall.
Because some page started following me on Instagram, and I was like, who the fuck is this? Then, you know, I clicked on it. I was like, oh, bitch, I'm not about to follow them. Oh, hell no, y'all ain't about to get me up in this shit. Then she has, like, three other pages, and I'm like, it's like, okay, so I thought you deleted your page, but now are you trying to come back? You think, okay, everything is swept up under the rug. I'm going to go on the Tamron Hall show and show everybody that I'm still...
Well, maybe she's Sherry. Maybe she's trying to get on All Stars.
Babe.
On my way to All Stars. You know.
Baby. That show will get canceled so fucking fast. If that happens, now I will pay to sit in the audience just to watch that first episode. Just to see what happens.
Wouldn't that be a gag if they're like the producers of Drag Race are like, Mystique, we would love to get you on All Stars. And you're like, this is great. Now, we need you to spend about $30,000 on these costumes. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no problem, can do it. You show up, and the first day of taping, they're like, here is the drag queen you're assigned, Sherry Pie. And you're like, womp, womp.
Bitch, my ass will pull up. You got to make $30,000 worth of costumes. Okay, y'all gonna pay me up front, correct? Because I run me my money. Because if not, y'all about to get some H&M shit that's fully rhinestone.
H&M and E6000 to the rescue.
Mm-hmm.
For real, fully rhinestone. We're getting from H&M, but I rhinestoned it all.
For people that don't get that reference, I guess in RuPaul's Drag Race UK, somebody's wearing some H&M and RuPaul is like, I don't want to see any fucking H&M up in here unless it's fully rhinestoned. You know? And then everybody's like, yeah, but okay, but your Old Navy onesies are all right. And she's just like, of course, because I got paid.
Ooh! Yeah, for the season finale, she wore this like latex mask and something, it was a purple hoodie from H&M, wasn't it?
I don't know.
No, that was like a onesie.
That was American Apparel.
Oh, American Apparel. That's right.
Vintage.
Whatever.
Vintage.
So I can't not have you on the show without asking you your thoughts so far on season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race. I assume you're watching it.
Yeah, I watched bits and pieces because some of it it's painful to watch. Because it's like, it's all about the fighting and it's not about like, oh my God, sisterhood, come together. And it's also not about drag per se anymore, like a drag contest type of thing. Because like, you know, how many episodes are we in? Two, three?
Four or five by now, right?
Oh, four?
Yeah, they've sent, you know, it seems
at least
like
three
it's,
people home.
It's getting more to its roots on America's Next Top Model, which, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race was a parody of America's Next Top Model initially.
And, right, but it's getting more cattier.
Yeah, I don't know. If you watch some of those clips of America's Next Top Model, you're like, RuPaul's Drag Race is sticking to the script. There's very little distinction between that show, and a lot of people never seen it, you know, because it aired 15, 20 years ago. And what we're seeing today is it's almost like plan by plan, frame by frame, you know?
Right. Because I'm like watching, I was like, okay, this is good. Okay. This is a little cringe worthy. Okay. Why is y'all always attacking? Why are you just screaming? Where's the sisterhood? You don't got to be best friends, but at least put a good competition together.
Well, you posted on social media. You're like, can't we just all get along and enjoy Drag Race?
Yes, and that, okay, so I'm one of the founders of that group.
Yeah.
Me and this other guy. So everybody know, if I have to chime in a group, all hell's about to break loose. That's why I put on post post approval. I was kicking people out left and right. I'm like, I don't got time for all y'all BS, because you watch a clip and you be like, oh my God, I didn't know she did that. Then you try to read somebody off of a clip. It's like, you don't even know the person. Find out the true story. It's like, it is so much going on. It's just like, Jesus, don't y'all got school? Y'all is like 13 years old. Y'all on here being keyboard thugs, starting all this drama and mess.
Mm.
Well, I hope at least, you know, Candy Muse is selling some good merch and making some good money. Because it's tough, like,
she's
right now.
A little doll that will yell at you for 20 minutes straight. And then it goes out for a cigarette.
That's rude.
What?
Is that true?
No, of course not. Joke.
Okay.
I cannot confirm nor deny.
It's just there was one episode of Untucked where she's like, she's yelling at people. But, you know, part of me is just like, I don't blame you if everybody like is nice to your face. And then all of a sudden they're just like, oh, you're totally arrogant. And then what is it? Tamisha looks at you and be like, I just don't like you. I'd be like, what?
Why do you not like me? You know? Part of it is, look, you know, well, you could speak to this.
But
it's like,
at least Tamisha said it to her face.
Yeah.
I said, I don't like you. Okay. Why not? Okay, because of XYZ, instead of be like behind the back, be like, oh, I don't like that bitch. Then when she walk around the corner, hey, sis, how you doing? You need some help, sister? Oh, my God, let me help you. Oh, no, just say it to my face. If you don't like me, bitch, you don't like me.
Yeah.
It'd be good. It'd be better like that.
Well, sometimes if you don't like somebody, it doesn't have to be said. You know what I mean?
It's tyranny if we're forced to like
each
other.
You have to say it.
Yeah.
It's drag race.
You don't need to like me. You don't need to like Mark or Mystique or you know, anybody.
What is it like? What did you say to that one person? You're like, I don't care if you don't care.
I got into this fight with this anti-masker at the gym. And it was this woman who was teaching this class. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? You know, you're gonna, it's like, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Let's end, wear your goddamn mask. And she's like, I don't care what you think about me. And I was like, well, I don't care what I think about you either.
She gagged.
And she was gagging. And I was like, okay, what, you know, I'm walking away from this situation. But there's this guy, this personal trainer who got
Adrian in Chicago
down. We saw this red hatter walking down the street because he lives in our neighborhood.
Yeah. It's the skinny white dude with that, one of those red hats on. And I don't need look to tell on you what his it face. Says.
Exactly.
This was like back in October and he had a bag with him. It was around the election time. And I was just like, I'm like, what's in that bag?
And we never see Trumpers in the neighborhood.
Yeah, because we're in a very progressive part of the world.
So we're like, we almost started like stalking
him. But then we're just
because
like,
he was, you know, he
looked like he could have had an assault rifle or something like that.
And I wanted to keep away from him. Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, I was like, what's going on with this person? Yeah. Like, he's mentally crazy.
And so we think that this may be the same person. He's being internet famous right now. We don't know if it's the same person. But
we don't know for sure.
But it could be because there are pictures of him wearing a red hat. But he was at a gym. Not wearing his mask, and this personal trainer came over and was like, hey, buddy, you know, put your mask on, please. It's the law right here in Chicago. You know, it's the businesses requiring it. The governor's requiring it. And he's just like, he goes off on him. And he pokes him in the chest or something.
And I'm not, you know, I work in customer service, so I'm comfortable going up to a complete stranger saying, hey, why is your mask? Like, put on your mask, you know? And part of it is, I don't know if it's my physical intimidation, is the fact that my voice sounds like nails on a chalkboard or whatever, you know, but, usually I don't have any trouble with that. You know, like I got really mad. There was these like three guys and three girls at the gym, all standing around in a circle. And they were like, two of them had their mask on their chin. And I was just like, I got to them and was like, and they were employees of the gym.
Ooh.
And I was like, going to the manager, who also wasn't wearing his mask. He had it, you know, they do the
just below the nose thing.
And it's just so much.
It's so stupid.
Privilege, you know, it's like.
It's like, just put the mask over your nose and your mouth. It's not that hard to breathe.
We need to end this. I said, do you like this pandemic? Because, you know, this pandemic is going to keep on going if you do not wear your mask. Mm. It's like, I don't like it. You don't like it. Obviously, you don't want to wear your mask. Put your goddamn mask on and shut the fuck up.
People are just, people don't care. They just want to, we're going to stick it to the man. We're just not, no, it's a fake virus. Because I don't know how many times in my day job. Now, I'm very antisocial. I 24/7 I have a resting bitch face on unless you know me. So I don't approach nobody. Yeah. You gonna come approaching me if you need help. So I'm just standing there. All my coworkers, now mind you, I'm the only dude in the department. So everybody think I'm a manager or some shit. And I'm just like, oh, hell no, nah, bitch, leave me alone. But if something goes down, they quickly find me. So, you know, I have these, you know, coworkers, you know, 60, 70 year old coworkers looking at these kids like, excuse me, put your mask on. And then one dude just like went off on a lady. And, you know, you just got to go out and be like, bruh, where's your mask? If you don't got a mask, you got to go. We ain't playing these games around here. And, you know, I do win awards for my customer service abilities. I don't know how, because I'm rude. And I just say, I just treat people like, you know, like humans, and I'm just going to say it. Like, if you don't like what I'm about to say, sorry, I'm still going to say it. But where is your mask? We're in the middle of a panoramic bread, and we're trying to get this over with. I'm trying to do makeup on people.
What did you just call it? Panera bread?
Panoramic bread. I never call it, you know, the good word. I use every other keyword.
I don't think a lot of people make
it. I'm tired of this panoramic.
I don't think people like it, our international listeners might not understand. I think especially on Black Twitter, which is, you know, Twitter, they call it Black Twitter. It's the Twitter.
I still can't find Black Twitter.
Huh?
I still can't find Black Twitter. I always get close to Black Twitter. Yeah. Then it just shifts, and I'm like, damn it, I lost.
And so it's a game. They're always trying to one up each other. They won't call it the pandemic. They'll call it something like close to it or almost it or something like that. Because like, if you name it, you claim it.
Oh, that's right.
You know, and so you just kind of that, like, yeah. So it's like they call it the Panera bread or
Miss Rona
or the Panacea.
Miss Rona needs to go home. She's been here too long. Mm-hmm. Miss Rona, she's doing too much for this environment. She needs to go.
This pumpernickel's got me down.
I have not used that one. I'm using it tomorrow.
Pump and dump.
whoa! I can't say that at work. They're gonna be like, "What website you on your phone right now?"
Well, you know, listen, the positive side of all this gossip and backstabbing is that we do get to see photos of RuPaul's Drag Race contestants naked now.
Why?
I think it's kind of fun and cute, you know.
Oh, because they all have OnlyFans now because the gigs are dried up.
Well, regardless of whether their gigs are dried up, they're sexual beings and they deserve, if they can make good money, you know, rubbing one out in front of a video camera for their fans. That's
until
great.
Until the IRS really kicks in on this OnlyFans, then people ain't gonna be doing nothing.
Yeah, but those OnlyFans people, you know, they're turning they turn those stuff all over to they have to do like a tax thing for that.
Yeah, they issue a 1099. It's not a complicated thing.
Yeah. Because like
if they found you was talking about drag queens. You know some drag queens don't file taxes.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't say it. I'm really excited about T.S. Madison, my good Judy, from Cooking with Drag Queens.
Two episodes she was on. Two. We liked her so much. She came in here. She gave us this recipe that counted, like it was like 4 pounds of meat. Like she thought we were cooking for a church or something like that. It was crazy. And so our second episode is we did, what are we going to do with all these leftovers?
Spaghetti. This leftover beef
and
spaghetti.
And so then we made fried spaghetti balls, which were delicious.
And so T.S. Madison, after a year, I mean, this is somebody who really has, you know, used her 22-inch weave to chop a path.
Like a machete,
just cutting down a path through adversity, through prejudice, through hate and bigotry, and created a career for herself. And she has won the hearts of the world. And now she has a reality TV show with Tiffany New York Pollard that looks so much fun. It's going to be on WeTV March 4th.
I was surprised about that too, though, because I thought yeah, the gays canceled Tiffany too.
What happened with her?
Well, I have to say that off air, but I guess that when she was on that one show that you know on VH1 about the chances, dating or whatever. Uh-huh. She was talking about one of the contestants, and in her face was like, "We think you're a man," and was doing all this over and over.
Oh, shit.
And the thing is, I guess she apologized, then deleted her Facebook or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hold on, I thought the gays canceled Tiffany. I was like, this is interesting.
I tell you, I don't believe, you know, I wish cancel culture was real.
It's weird because they'd be like this, bitch, you're canceled. 2 weeks later, girl, I love you. You uncanceled. Mm-hmm. Girl, this is stupid.
Listen, if cancel culture was real, Trump would have been indicted. Right? Yeah. He was acquitted. He would not have been acquitted.
Well, you know who runs the world?
Women.
I knew you was about to go with that one.
Who run the world? Girls. Who run the world? Girls. Beyonce said it must be true.
Did you see that high heel shoe sales have dropped 71% in 2020?
And they're thinking, well, yeah, because all these entertainers are at home and you ain't seeing their feet. I think one time, my first digital drag show, I was like, let me be cute. Let me put on these heels. Let me do all this shit. Bitch, heels and carpet do not work.
No?
Bitch, no. If you're trying to learn how to walk in heels, vacuum on carpet, that's perfect. But trying to perform, this is too much traction. I tried to do the splits, and now it was like a split lit. that was my whole movement, and then I looked and I was like, oh shit, I kind of ripped up my carpet a little bit.
Yeah, till then I was like, dancing carpet. Yeah,
I said, fuck it, let me just be barefooted. Y'all ain't seen all this. Do I need to put on pants and a corset? Bitch, nope. Y'all about to get a titty shot up. Here y'all go.
Again, when we do Cooking with Drag Queens, it's like, take your shoes off. Nobody's going to see them.
They get so mad, though.
Some do. Some of them are like,
I need to wear these shoes. I'm like, girl, just wear some, you know, club kid platforms, whatever.
And I think with Jade, we put her on a little box, right?
We put Jade on a box. Because Jade is little.
Yeah.
Like people don't realize.
She's man.
She's a jewel. Man. You know, she's
a lot. Yeah. A lot of people think us drag queens, we're tall. Someone thought, literally, I was like 6'4" one time. And I was like, no. I was like, it's just what TV looks like. Mm-hmm. None of us is that tall. Some of us is, but 9 times out of 10, no, we're all like under 6 feet.
Yeah. I was the only person by size wise who was I was kind of surprised how tall they were was Jinx Monsoon. I assumed
that Jinx is enormous.
I thought Jinx was like this little tiny 5'4", 5'6" person. Because you know, you'd see her in these outfits and she'd be sitting on this oversized couch or whatever. But then you meet her in person and with heels, she's taller than I am.
She's taller, about as tall as RuPaul. RuPaul is really tall.
Well, RuPaul's like 6'2", right?
Yeah, but we've hung out, we've met everybody, you know?
Pretty much, yeah.
Who's the tallest, besides RuPaul, the tallest person you've ever met? I know that my answer.
Oh, in drag?
Yeah, in the drag world.
Oh, in the drag world, I was about to say.
Who's the tallest one?
Who's the tallest one?
The late, great Lady Red Couture.
Oh, she was tall, yeah.
She was she's like, I play basketball. It's like, I get a man and bring him home and stuff. You know, rest in peace, Lady Red Couture. But she should have been on RuPaul's Drag Race. It never worked out, but their loss, you know. Mm. And and she would always get mistaken for Latrice Royale, who also is just really, really tall.
Right.
And so... to the point that we used it on to our advantage. And Johnny McGovern, Lady Red Couture, Mark and I got into clubs with people thinking that Lady Red Couture was Latrice.
I feel like they gave us drinks too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And we were like, everybody was playing along. No one.
You see,
except when she was.
Latrice, if you're listening to this, they owe you drinks and money.
She got nuts and fruit money now. She's selling
chocolate,
those Ferrero Rocher things with pistachios.
Ruby chocolates. Yeah. Yeah.
She's sending them
for some people that don't know, there's a new type of chocolate out. Well, it came out 2 years ago. So we've always had dark chocolate, and then we've had milk chocolate, which is dark chocolate with a little cream in it. And then you've got white chocolate, which is the cocoa butter stuff, and then they process that. And now they have ruby chocolate, which is from chocolate, certain types of chocolate berries, and has kind of a fruity taste to it, really. And it is a red color.
And so it's a Squirrel brand Ruby Royale nuts. Mm-hmm. It has a ruby coated chocolate nuts, mm-hmm. and it's all peanut free, allergy free, so you can't kill Lady Bunny with it.
No.
They did send a tin to Lady Bunny, and she was like mad that it wasn't poisonous. Mm. And it has cranberries and pistachios. It looks really good, so, you know, it's a nice thing to buy for somebody you love. Mm.
But these high heels, I guess the high heel shoes too, is like they were on the decline even before the pandemic started, because everybody's going like business casual or athleisure outfits. So we'll see if it ever comes back. One of my friends who does sex advice, she was just like, you wear the come fuck me shoes when you're laying down and ready to spread your legs. But like, you know, if you have to do any kind of work, no, you're not wearing those things. But
the prettier and highest heel of the shoe, you'd be like, oh my God, this is real pretty. That is a sit down shoe. Mm-hmm. You is expected to do, just put them on and you sit down. You don't move. You don't do nothing. You be like, oh, look at my shoes. Uh-huh. Don't move.
It's been on a very rare occasion where I've worn high heel shoes and I'm just like, I don't know how people do this. It is excruciating. It's painful. My feet feel like they're just being tortured.
Because you're an old beast.
Mm-hmm.
Honey.
You're supposed to walk on the ball of your feet. You gotta be delicate. Delicate and gentle.
Work stilettos when I was 18, 19, 20. Now, honey, I put them on. I'm done. And I take them off. Like, that is like 4 minutes as long as I can wear them. And I prefer, you know, like if you have problems with heels, for the people that are listening right now, Tango shoes look like heels, but they're open toed, much more comfortable. You can move a lot better. I don't know why drag queens don't use Tango shoes.
Well, because they all think you're supposed to wear a certain shoe. When Payless went out of business, Payless was a drag queen superstar. Because, oh my God, this is insane. Let me get this sensible shoe and call it a fucking day. Yeah. But you know, when people need shoes, they don't know where to go. But they can always go to BeverlyHeels.com. That is HEELS.com with promo code Mystique Summers and get 20% off their purchase.
Ooh,
hold on, Mystique Summers with a Y.
Uh-huh, MYSTIQUE.
Just like the X-Men, right?
Always, yes.
And some are like the wish it was.
Girl, for real.
What do you make of a Tessica Brown, the people that they're calling her, the Gorilla Glue Girl? She has come out with a statement saying, I have never said I was going to sue Gorilla Glue. I don't plan on suing Gorilla Glue. It's just somebody said it, and it's
I was hoping she would.
Check yourself.
I was hoping she would sue.
Why?
Because if she was suing and win, I'm suing everybody. I'm like, I'm missing hair because of Gorilla Glue. I'm missing skin because of Super Glue and Gorilla Glue. I'm about to sue everybody. Mm. I'm like, us entertainers have been through worse. Okay, girl, I don't know what she did to her hair because she did not, because I got the same glue. She did not just spray for a quick hold. Because if you spray for a quick hold, it dries fast. So you have to work fast. So your hands is going to be sticky. Mm. Her hair was too evenly placed. So she had to slack that crap down. And then, you know, when they cut the ponytail off, okay, you got access to the hair. Just rinse some warm water through it and work it out and all that stuff.
She had to fly to Beverly Hills and see a plastic surgeon. And he worked
and
it
who
out.
Created, he created a new adhesive in like 3 days. Or he's a remover, just to remove it. But here is the thing I don't understand. Her nails was freshly did after that whole surgery. Like, during the whole surgery, she had a fresh manicure. And then when it got done, you know, she woke up. She's like, everything's done. The first thing she started doing was scratching her scalp. And I'm like, hold up. You have this glue stuck on your head for like 2 months. And it finally came off and you started scratching your scalp. This is like having a relaxer burn and you start scratching your scalp. It's going
to
burn worse.
Yeah,
you just came out of surgery. Right. Like why is she scratching her scalp?
Well, she now has merch herself branded Bonded for Life. T-shirts, sunglasses, tote bags.
Well, it's just
she became verified Instagram overnight.
You know,
well, overnight.
It's terrible because people call her the Gorilla Glue Girl, and it's a terrible nickname to have.
And her name's Tessica, like Jessica with a J.
Yeah, Tessica, like a terrible choice, Jessica.
But Jessica, you know, we're America. We celebrate like these people. You know, look at how we were just enamored with Tiger King. Now, Jessica's not an alleged murderer or anything like that.
But she did murder her scalp.
but she didn't lose no hair after the whole. After they got it all on her hair. She's like, she did not lose hair, and I'm like, hold up, no.
I know. No, isn't that amazing? She didn't lose any hair.
That is not amazing. That's false. Whatever that glue is, they need to sell it. Whatever that's
called. Oh, no, even the stuff that takes it out, right?
Yes, because I lost hair before. I lost skin. How? We all lost stuff before in the drag world of doing, you know, things that we're not supposed to put on our body, but we do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I'm like. I was like, when she said that, well, it's not on the directions. It said, don't put on your, skin.
Well, I'm sure the next thing is going to say hair. Thanks, Jessica.
How many people are listening to this podcast who injected things into their body they later regretted?
That's what I said. It's not like the girls who, you know, put stuff in their body, like what you're talking about. They're not suing WD-40. This cooking oil here or whatever the mixture is in their body, are they? Mm-hmm.
I don't, but do you know what WD-40 is made out of?
No, I didn't take that part of science.
The lubricant that you use to like on their keys and all that stuff when the lock doesn't lock.
It's fish oil.
Oh, that's
nice. That's, you know, it?
I was like scared to.
They might add a little chemical to it. They might add a little chemical to it or something like that. But yeah, the formula, at least it was a few years ago, was fish oil.
Thanks for unlocking the car, fish oil.
So the fish oil pills that I take every day is the same thing in WD-40.
I'm not sure.
I heard that Gia Gunn is now becoming the brand ambassador for WD-40 because just like, I do appreciate a good lubricant. Absolutely. She moved to L.A.
Well, all the racists are moving to L.A. when they get a chance.
Yeah.
She was not happy when she was leaving Chicago, bless her heart. She had a farewell show, Gia Gunn, and we were there and we were like, we love you and stuff. And she's just like, I am so sick of this town. Fuck you all. Which I thought was kind of cool.
At least that's how it appeared.
Yeah, she stood on the show. She said, I'm so glad you guys are here. I love you guys. But really, this town has been really hard on me, and I'm glad to be leaving. You know, and she has family here.
It's the land of opportunity. You go to L.A. to try to be, you know, you want to be something bigger than what you are. If you can't make it in your small, not can't make it, but find yourself in your current city or current town.
Well, that's the thing, is like, you hear a lot of people like, there's plenty of gigs. I'm like, yeah, because you live in California or New York. You know, it's like, listen, you know, sometimes if you're a special niche entertainer and then all of a sudden there's a TV show that like popularizes what you do, it becomes really tricky.
Yeah, because everybody and their mama's gonna become. I'm telling you, when the world reopens up from the Pizza Hut that we're in right now, it's gonna be drag queens everywhere. It's gonna, because everybody's at home learning how to perform. And the thing is, with these digital drag shows, people are watching these entertainers. They're like, oh, they're amazing performers, and blah 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 blah. And it's like no, they got amazing editing skills. Me personally, I'm like, y'all is gonna see a one take video. That's all it is. I'm not about to do like a whole music video because I don't got time.
Are you watching a lot of the drag digital shows? Are you?
Yeah.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah.
I just wish you could skip past the bad acts. You know.
Oh no, you can't do that, girl.
I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't need to see 5 minutes of this. You know.
Just you know act like you're at the club. Bathroom break, or you go to the bar.
I can go get a drink. I can flirt with somebody. I can tip somebody $1. You know, I can stick my dick and, you know, do things. It's like when you're at home and you're just like, well, yeah. If I just, you know, I could go to the bathroom, but I could do that anyways.
Right. No, it's just I just want to see the same entertainers that everybody's loving on the digital drag stuff. See them perform live. Yeah. Be like, I want to see what you're gonna do live.
I miss your beautiful face.
So I can mock you about it. Yeah.
Online.
And read you to filth.
So I can look and be like, oh, this what this bitch just did in this video is the same thing she did on stage.
Yeah.
Fuck her.
You should have stayed
in the have time for her.
You should have stayed in the Pangea.
For real.
Well, the third season of Pose has been all filmed except the ballroom scenes. They're waiting.
They could just put in a green screen and just, you know, CGI the whole thing.
Make it a dream or something.
It's not right. The same. Yeah. That show's so much fun with the ballroom scenes. Without it, it would feel, you know, missing something.
Unless they film the ballroom scenes with everybody in the mask.
In 1982,
it could be a costume.
No. Because season three is supposed to be in the 90s, I thought.
Yeah, but there was no pandemic in the 90s.
Season three is going to be now?
I thought it was supposed to be like upcoming now, I thought.
No, I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
The characters would be like in wheelchairs, you know? It's like...
Well, Bonka's already in a wheelchair, so, girl.
I mean, there would be, you know, those characters back then, you know, would be like in their 80s and 70s today, you know?
Do you think Bonka's going to live?
It's with the kids.
She going to die?
I thought she was gonna die last season. The reason why I say that is because when they did Candy thing and ended the last performance.
Yeah.
And then you know the last episode of the show, Bonka coming out in a wheelchair, I was like, in my head watching this episode, I'm like, this bitch is dead. And she is giving her final performance, but we just don't know that until the end. Like, this bitch is dead. This bitch is fucking dead. I was like, damn, they're just about to get everybody.
Aww.
But she ain't dead. So I was like, okay, good.
Well, you know, when they finished it, they were just like a few years away from them with the new antiretrovirals.
The time period it took place.
They were just a few years away. So, you know, hopefully that they can survive long enough to make it. But that serial killer is still on the loose, the one who's killing the trans women.
But
you know, we have to catch him. We got, you know.
So Angelica Ross, she's a good Judy of ours. We known her through friends of friends for years. And I have this amazing performance with her and T.S. Madison, where T.S. Madison's standing on stage saying, 520s make 100 in front of like at PayPal, Groupon, like, you know, rich tech people.
Well, it was a trans tech summit.
It was a trans tech summit.
She kept going, yeah. And which meant like, you know, incremental change, right? A little bit makes a lot. But when she kept saying 520s makes 100, it was because, you know, she worked the streets.
She's a sex worker.
And so she'd do something for 20 bucks and she'd be like, 20 bucks is nothing. But you know what? 520s do make 100. And so she just kept doing that in your head. And so I've kept that in my mind ever since. You know, it's those little things and they all add up.
And so Angelica Ross, you know, we were like thrilled that, you know, I've always thought she's an amazing actor. If you really want to watch her early work, you can watch her story on YouTube. And she, you know, became a sensation from being on Pose. And so when they, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen season two, they kill her off. And I was just devastated. But at the same time, I was really happy because I'm like, that means that Brian Murphy is going to, you know, get her other gigs.
Right.
And so she's going to be the breakout star of the series. And sure enough, she's an American Horror Story. She's doing all this work and not just limited to taking roles playing trans women.
Because once you're in with Brian Murphy and you don't piss him off, he'll recast you in other stuff.
Who did he piss off?
I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Don't. Yeah. Yeah. Like Gia with Jon Favreau. In The Mandalorian, he's like, you're done, honey.
Oh,
yeah. I don't even say
her
full name.
That's another craziness.
She's done, honey. They're thinking of getting Lucy Lawless to play her character.
Everybody's like researching, trying to cancel everybody and their mama. Mm-hmm. They're going back. You said this back in 1602, remember?
But this is not about the past. This is her intentionally saying harmful things.
Oh, yeah.
To agitate and antagonize the people she works with. This would be like me talking trash about a coworker. Would I be able to expect to keep my job if my manager or my coworkers got wind of me saying nasty, mean, hurtful things about them on social media? I wouldn't be able to. You know?
Well, no, you don't. Like, you don't post that on social. You don't post that on social media. No matter if you're, I blocked it. Well, bitch, someone screenshotted it already before you deleted and you did all this. You don't post that.
And it's putting, you know, and I think part of it is like, I sense some people just, you know, I don't know why some people behave in this manner, but part of it is like, you know, that's the power of social media, that it gets inside our deepest parts of our brains. And, you know, as Donna, was it Donna Summer's, like, on the radio, someone wrote my letter on the radio.
Read my letter.
Read my letter. Wrote my letter. Read me to filth. And, you know, and that's part of it is like, sometimes it's good to just keep private thoughts private, because privacy is the right to be at peace with the thoughts in your head.
That's right.
You know,
you gotta keep your circle real small of people that you can trust, that you can actually open up to, knowing that it's not going to get out. And then whenever you get around the people that you know that are messy, you just give them information that you don't care about that's going to get out. You just feed them a little information and that's it.
Well, Mystique, it's great chatting with you. I hope you're celebrating Fat Tuesday by getting yourself some nice jelly-filled donuts.
Well, no, I was debating on, you know, finding a late night dresser, but I was like, it's snowing and we're in a pomegranate and I'm not trying to have them at my house like that.
A late night dresser.
Yeah. Late night dresser. I said a late night dresser.
What's a dresser?
Well, that's what I call late night entertainment.
Oh,
I said, you know, a set of people be like, you know, oh, trade of this, trade of that. I was like, oh no, I just want a late night dresser. And everybody get confused. Be like, what do you mean? Be like, you know, just a late night dresser, someone that can just come over and just undress.
I love Mardi Gras because here in Chicago we have the tradition of the punchkis, which are basically donuts, right?
Every time someone's like, punchkis, I'm like, this is just a donut.
Yeah, it's just a donut.
It's nothing different.
But, you know, and so last week we had a Swedish version called a semla. Those were good. And so that's kind of like a cardamom roll, which isn't too sweet. And then they hollow out the middle and they mix that with some marzipan and they put some whipped cream in there and then you serve it. That was really good. I also had some New Orleans king cake last week too, which is basically brioche, cinnamon brioche, and it's okay. I don't like all that glitter sugar on top.
Oh, it's just terrible.
It just gets into my teeth. So I always like to celebrate the Mardi Gras and Carnival with eating all the delicious treats.
I know. Too bad we can't be in New Orleans, but they shut down too.
I know. They had a picture of Bourbon Street at 7 p.m. the other day, and I was just like, wow, completely dead. Because, you know, tomorrow's Mardi Gras, but, you know, when we're taping the show, or today is Mardi Gras, but when we're taping the show, it was on Lundi Gras, which is, you know, fat, you know, Monday. And so these things keep, you know, weeks prior to this day, it all leads up to that. So it's wild. But I wonder if, like, in some of the smaller communities, because people in New Orleans are Louisiana, I bet you some of the other places will probably still have their kind of little lower key celebrations.
They may, but you know, the big place is always Bourbon Street. Mm. That's why I'm already planning for this year. I was like, I wonder if they're going to cancel Seven Decadence again.
That comes up on Labor Day weekend, I believe, right? You know, by then the pandemic may be over, right? Or at least some of the people have vaccines.
I'm just not a fan of being in a crowded situation with a bunch of drunks.
Well, okay, so I did it 2 years ago for my first time there.
Yeah.
And it was a mess because I was like, woke up at 10 o'clock, let's go to the bar. Then 6 p.m., I'm like passed out, drunk off of 151. And my God, that whole story was just, I'll tell you the whole story. So we're drinking. Okay, so I got a message on Scruff from this bartender that worked at the Leather Bar up there. And I thought, okay, sure. We'll come meet you. Who cares? So me and my brother, we're just drinking. The only thing in our system is a small bag of Doritos. So we're just drinking. Then we went to another bar. So he said, I'll be right back. Now, for me, everybody that knows me, if I drink too much, it become Adventure Time and I'm about to go travel. If I don't trust you, you disappear, I'm disappearing. But if I full-blown trust you, you tell me one thing, like, sit right here and don't move, I'm going to sit right here and don't move. Okay, so I remember I had 3 shots of Southern Comfort. Then I was talking to this couple, then I was talking to this other guy. Then I remember my brother coming and said, hey, we're going back to the hotel. And I was like, okay, cool, sure. That's what happened in my head. Now, the bartender proceeded to tell me this is what really happened. My brother left me. Then I started making out with four people at the bar, doing six shots of 151, taking ice, putting it down my chest, and oh my God, it's fucking hot in this motherfucker. And I was doing all this bullshit. And I was like, I don't remember any of that. I just remember two shots of Southern Comfort, talking to some people, and going back to my hotel.
And then the next day you're like, why is there lube on my dick?
No, I woke up. It was like 2 a.m. I was like, where's my fucking brother? Then what did I do? Let me get on these apps and start talking to people. Because I was like, I'm not about to leave out this hotel room. No, I did leave out the hotel room because I found the trick on the fourth floor and I just went to the fourth floor.
So you don't remember what you did?
I don't remember when my brother left me at the bar, and then when he came back, I don't even know how long he was gone, but I was doing shots and shots and shots of 151, and it was a mess. It was a mess. It was a hilarious mess. I didn't fight. It was just all like peace and love.
That's how I am. When I get drunk, I just want to, like, you know, have sex with everybody and make out and kiss and hug and love. We're all just one tribe, one heart, one mind, and they're all right? Like, get your hands off me, you slush.
It's just all about fun until someone fucks with your friend and just kills your mojo, and you just like, okay, now I gotta turn into the Terminator and let's fuck some shit up.
And then you're like, bitch, I'm from Line, Chicago. I live in Texas. I'm from Chicago, and I'm going to Line.
I get another line, please. Line. Bitch, I'm from Chicago. Okay. Trying to get this energy back to yell at you for bitch, I'm from Chicago. Oh my God, I'm trying to get this energy. It's like, you know, you can't be all delicate and be like, bitch, I'm from Chicago. People look at you and be like, man. You got to have that little, that threatening, that you just got to go that whole possessed type of voice and just say, bitch, I'm from Chicago and I'll whoop your ass. You just gotta go in that whole possessive and you'd be like, oh.
It's a Mardi Gras miracle.
Right?
She said it.
Right? Some guys, they make it get turned on by that too.
Really? Do you use your catchphrase to get men?
Oh, hell no. I don't got time for that shit.
I'd be like, did I do that? You know, Urkel's done that.
Hell no, because the thing is, I was talking to a guy, gonna date this guy, blah 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 blah, and I told him who I was. Then the whole conversation switched from trying to get to know me, switching to, oh my God, I love Drag Race. What happened on this? What happened? It just became an interrogation of just drag, and I'm just like, oh.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I run into people at work or customers and stuff like that, and they know me from it, but they're just like, their brains can't wrap the idea that you have some kind of connection to it, you know?
Right.
And so they're just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm so mad about season 13 and and Candy Muse and you're just like... You're just like laughing at them because you're like, it's a television show. Relax, it's gonna be okay.
I don't know, sometimes I trick the boys because of my whole photos, unless you really know me, you know I'm Mystique. But some of them, you know, be talking about, oh, I was like, so what do you watch? They're like, oh, I watch Drag Race. It's like, yeah, I'm a big fan of Drag Race. Oh, okay, cool. I was like, so what's your favorite season? Blah, blah, who didn't you like? And blah, blah, blah. Just to gauge to see if I got to be like, well, I am that bitch that you don't like, motherfucker.
Did you ever see that there was a made-for-TV movie? It's probably on YouTube or something like that. It was written by Joan Rivers. Yeah, the Joan Rivers. It took place in the 70s, and it starred, I believe, Stockard Channing.
Oh, she gets revenge.
And she gets revenge. So she was picked on in high school. She was heavy in high school, and she gets mad at all these, you know, these people all pick at her, and so she comes back into their lives later. She becomes slimmed down, and
she gets plastic surgery. Yeah.
She's, you know, does makeup and all this other kind of stuff. So, you know, she's seducing all the men. She's and then she's like killing all all these people, but like in the craziest ways. One person she locks into a bathroom with the water on and they can't get out, and so they drown in the bathroom. So it's hysterical. Damn. Another person, she has like, spoiler alert, Matt has them do like flips, like, oh, let me see you do flips, and then opens the window and they flip right out the window. You know, it's Joan Rivers, so you know, most of the humor is very wrong, and it is from the 70s. So, but I remember seeing it as a little kid, and it just, it really appealed to my Scorpio moon.
The name of the movie is The Girl Most Likely To.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
It's a wonderful film.
Yeah.
Very popular drag queens of the yesteryear.
Mm.
I remember the world before Drag Race. Oh, we had so much fun getting drunk.
I remember the world before Drag Race.
We could say things and do things that were so outrageous.
How many years were you doing drag before you got on Drag Race?
Oh, shit. Four years, I think. Four or five.
Okay, so you started about 2004, 2005 then or something, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. That's before Drag Race.
Yeah.
Feast of Fun.
All
you do is interview. You only succeed because you interview RuPaul's Drag Race queens. I'm like, I was doing Feast of Fun 4 years before Drag Race even started. So,
bitch, please. I was doing drag when RuPaul wasn't doing drag.
I'm like, you know, like,
please,
like me personally. I'm like, how I grew up in the drag world. These kids will not survive. Because I'm like, if you cannot take these little soft reads and stuff that people are saying, you would not last back then. Because back then, it was just all hardcore. It was like, okay, I'm just going to hurt your feelings because other people are going to do this. So we need to make you have tough skin. You need to have tough skin in this business.
I'll tell you this. In 1990, in 1990, when you got dressed up in drag, it involved going to a thrift store and digging through a basket of old wigs because there was not a wig store in town. And you were using CoverGirl, which does not cover boy. And you looked pretty booger. You know, it was definitely John Waters, Divine kind of thing. More makeup and crazy. You were not contouring. Nobody understood what contouring was, you know. And your wigs were like... You were lucky you had a wig.
Your own eyebrows.
Yeah, use your own eyebrows. None of the, you know, so the pageant queens have contributed a lot to drag that change how we, even if you look at RuPaul's makeup on season one versus today, you know, it's completely different. So,
well, season one, you had Matthew.
Well, even Matthew Anderson, you know, Matthew's makeup on RuPaul, you know, for Supermodel was revolutionary at the time. And,
right.
And nobody, you look at photos of Lady Bunny and RuPaul, like before that, nobody's contouring. Coco Peru, you know, Jackie Beat actually is somebody who did really elaborate makeup on her eyes, but the rest of her face was very, you know, very solid.
But she's stepped up because she's like, she's had all these 13 and 12 year old girls come after her. And she's like, okay, 12 and 13 year old girls, I will work on my makeup. And she has, you know.
And nobody, there is nothing more vicious than a 12-year-old girl on the internet.
Oh,
it's like, now you know what, because, you know, for years we always heard about Mean Girls, you know, in high school, Lindsay Lohan, and we're like, oh, isn't that a delightful film? But it's like, you better believe it, honey. That's a real deal.
Little kids going crazy.
And, you know, and you don't know if it's an adult or not. So people are just like, treat what, you know, somebody who's like stuck at home and not has anything else better to do, just to cook up schemes, and you know, and you treat them as if they were a full adult, and it's like,
it
can, you know, mess with some people's heads. You know, it's a roller coaster, honey. It's gonna go up, it's gonna go down, it's gonna have twists and turns, but at the end of the ride, you're gonna want to get back on it all over again.
Oh,
unless you throw up.
And you're going to throw up a little bit.
Just like Feast of Fun.
Just like having sex with me, honey.
That's what everybody says.
We're going to throw up a little bit. At the end, you're like, let's do it again.
Didn't somebody throw up once they were sucking your dick?
They did.
Yeah. It wasn't me.
Oh,
it
was... no.
Well, it's like, I took somebody home from a bar and they were like in the closet and stuff. And he was like, I'm going to suck your dick. I'm just like, okay. His name, I could tell you his name because his name was Brad White.
Why would you say his name like that?
Because that name is so generic.
Million people named Brad White, and the name is the only reason I remember it is because of, you know, Rocky Horror Picture Show, and he was a, you know, white, and he had, you know, his whole family was out of town, and he had like kids toys in the bathtub and stuff like that, and it was like I was like, what am I doing here? And this, I was really young, and he was like, I'm gonna suck your dick, and he just put his mouth on my dick for like a second, and then he just went into the bathroom and vomited.
For the record, I have never vomited seeing my husband's penis, just so you guys know.
Well, it wasn't nothing about me. It was about him. You know, he was like drunk, and he was like,
Sure, Jan.
Why?
That's what they all say. That's what they all say.
Oh, Mystique. It's so good to
keep you. What you shouldn't say was like, you know, he put it in his mouth and he went too far and he started choking and he went to throw up. He put it in his mouth and he instantly threw up.
That's what happened. It was a long time ago, honey. I was really young. It was like my third or fourth sexual experience in life.
Oh, back in 1962. Oh, it's okay.
Let me put it this way. RuPaul had not released Supermodel yet. Mm. I remember when Supermodel, we were like, the world is going to change.
And it did change, didn't it?
It did. Took a little while to change, but I remember going to the gay bars and we're like, this is amazing. And everybody's like, work, supermodel work. And it was that year, people started dressing up in drag, and then Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. All these guys who were like, they were all in drag.
But not that many people still didn't like drag. It wasn't until Drag Race came around that everybody came on board.
And now all the strippers and the nightclubs and stuff, they're dressing up in drag. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get on the show too. Mm.
Did you?
Oh, everybody's trying to get on the show. Hello,
#Hashtag Cameron Michaels, you know? She's like, I wanted to audition to be a pit crew, but this is more fun and more lucrative.
Did you see the video that's going around of there's a deer and somebody's photographing this deer crossing the road? And it takes you a while because you're like, what's going on here with this deer? And then you look closely and the deer got into a fight with another deer, and it's their antlers got caught together. And the one deer must have somehow been able to rip the head off the other deer. So this deer is walking around with another deer head stuck to its antlers. It is like, this is a...
Damn.
That is an omen. Something is happening in this world right now. And
I would have pulled up and I would have seen that. I'm reversing. Bitch, I'm not going over here. No. Yeah. That's Satan coming out.
Yeah. It is disturbing. And I wrote to my friend who lives in northern Minnesota. He was on that reality TV show with me. And I said, what do you think happened on this? Because he's a naturalist. And he's just like, they got into a fight because they probably both wanted to have sex with the same deer. Their things got intertwined. And, you know, the other one died, probably like neck broke or something like that. And he goes, I'm guessing that he was probably stuck on him for days, and as the body became frozen, started to freeze, was able to just rip the head off eventually. Yeah. Oh,
that's a serial killer.
It looks like something right out of like a scene from Fargo or something. Like, this is a portent of something weird is going to happen.
I don't believe in no fate to what we make.
Okay.
I think they got intertwined. The deer got pissed off and pushed all the deer down and was just started clumping him in the face until, you know, he ripped his head off. Serial killer. Mm. Deers are serial killers.
Mm. And deers will eat dead animals, dead carcasses. And if they get a chance to eat like a little snake or a little bird or something like that, they'll eat those too.
They're crazy.
Yeah.
The more you know.
we all cried about Bambi's mom getting shot, but now we know why. Mm. Bitches be crazy. And how the hell you gonna kill somebody and walk around with their head attached to you?
I think I commented, I was like, if I ever get on Drag Race, this is my look.
How do you think Vivacious came to have Ornacia on her?
Oh, yeah. That deer is like Ornacia. Jesus. Oh, by the way, for those out there, we have our Cooking with Drag Queens episodes. We are doing some final touches on Vivacious's episode, and that'll be out soon.
Are y'all hungry? We got Vivacious, and we have from Dracula, Disasterina are coming up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'll be amazing.
It's really, they're very, some of the best episodes. They're really beautiful, and you know, people are near and dear to my heart. Mystique, we met you all 11 years. How many years ago was it?
It was a while. You came to the home studio for the first time you came on the podcast, right?
How many years?
I would say that's when we met you, or did we meet you out in a club before that too, or not? I don't know.
I think no. We met during the old school Absolute tour in Chicago.
That's right.
Yeah, we met there, and then I came to the home studio.
Season 2, RuPaul's Drag Race.
When I was complaining and saying, bitch, I got a pillow perk on this goddamn string. This about a motherfucking bitch.
11 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, we were all played by different people back then, but it's so nice to connect with you. Honey, you're like so wise and beautiful and luscious, and it's so good talking to you, and I'm glad that, you know, people like Nina Bonina, Osama Bin Laden, Banana Fofana, RuPaul Charles Brown has a friend like you to talk and listen to.
Right, because people just need to listen to people. I am a great therapist, but I would not take my own advice. I should, but I won't listen to myself.
What's the advice you don't take that you should from yourself?
I am not saying that on this goddamn thing. There is plenty of things where I'll be sitting there.
Here, I'll tell you some advice. If it smells bad, don't stick it in your mouth.
Oh, hell no. Okay, anybody out there that's tricking around, if someone say, hey, can I take your shower? No, you better come over here, shower fresh and all that stuff before any type of activity is supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And make sure you have a thermometer so you can check their temperature before they walk in.
Have you been doing that, checking temperatures?
Ain't nobody come in my apartment.
Rectally or oral?
I have the scanner for your forehead, so I don't have to touch you.
Let's see how hot that dick is. Zap. Listen, Mystique, we got to get going because I got to go. I have some stuff to do before I post the show and go to bed.
And walk the dog.
And walk the dog. That's for sure.
Mystique, thank you so much for joining us on Feast of Fun today.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Y'all have a fantastic evening.
You too.
And if people want to follow you and go to their website, it's Mystique with a Q-U-E summers.com.
.net.
And I'll put a link up there too for you.
So Mystique Summers lives in Houston, Texas. Right?
Dallas,
Texas. You were in Houston before though.
I performed in Houston. I never lived in Houston. Oh, it's too humid. It's sticky hot down there.
Let me do that again. Mystique Summer lives in Dallas, Texas, y'all. Check her out. MystiqueSummers.net, honeys, and get some merch. Great present for St. Patrick's Day. What holidays are coming along?
Easter. Mother's Day.
My birthday.
I can get my birthday's coming up too. I'm still debating about going back to Illinois.
Are we on this born on the same day almost? I'm April 16th.
No, I'm not an April. I'm March. March 28th.
Although my fake birthday is April 1st.
Because you're a fool.
Born on April Fool's, honey.
There you go. Okay. Just a fool in love.
Well, we love you. Mystique, thank you so much, love.
Anytime. Y'all have a great evening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is made possible because of fierce, fabulous people like you.
Become a Plus member at feastoffun.com/plus because we wouldn't be able to talk to wonderful people like Mystique Summers if it weren't for you. Your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen. You can also get a t-shirt at our store, feastoffun.com/store, or make a one-time donation at feastoffun.com/donate. Our Venmo and Cash App are both Feast of Fun.
This summer, Feast of Fun celebrates 3,000 hour-long consecutive podcasts, making it the world's record for possibly the world records for highest number of shows in a podcast. And so the question is, should we try to apply to be in the Guinness Book of World Records? Let us know. Tell us what you think.
Yeah, we want to know.
Or you can
write
like,
to us at mail at Feast of Fun.
Mail at feastoffun.com or share like on social media. And of course, subscribe. Smash that share button. Smash that subscribe button, honey, because it feels so good when you smash it. Bye, everybody.
Bye.